Good morning. Welcome once again to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Weiss with Forgotten Word Ministries. Lovely day. God bless each one of you for joining this morning. We pray the programs have been a blessing to you, that you've learned something. Let us know how things are going. We'd like to hear from you. Give us an email. Let us know what you think. Give us ideas. If you got some ideas, let us know what they are. We want to continue on today from yesterday's conversation about are we as Christians, are we still sinners? Do we still and when I say are we still sinners, it doesn't mean that we're lost. I am not in any way, shape, or form, advocating that Christians are sinners and still lost. I'm not saying that. What I said, what I explained very clearly, and I think if you heard the messages last week about the ones called Seriously, you understood what I was talking about. I said that we as Christians still sin. We make mistakes. We fall short. We do fall short of the glory of God. There's no doubt that we fall short. We're still humans. God gave us an avenue to heaven through Jesus Christ, his Son. There is no doubt in my mind that as a Christian, if you truly ask the Lord to be your Savior, repented of your sins, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, no doubt you're going to heaven, folks. But you're still, unless you're perfect, and I haven't met you yet, if you are, please call me. Please email me, and I will come to wherever you're at, because I want to meet you if you're perfect. I don't know anybody perfect, but so many people today, especially in today's society, think that they are perfect because Christ, you're righteous in Christ, you're holy, and that's what you are now. Some of the things in the letter that the gentleman wrote to me, and like I said, now keep in mind, this is a wonderful gentleman. I think he's just a little confused on some things. That's all. That's my opinion. His opinion differs from mine. So I'm not here to have an argument on right or wrong between me and him. I'm talking about, this is what I believe. He told me what he believes. I'm telling you what I believe. I believe that he's just misunderstanding what the scripture says, that he's heard too many preachers preach the love message so much and the little one-liners that they like to pick out of scripture that they get confused with what scripture truly says. It's easy to quote scripture. It's very easy to quote scripture. Even Satan can do that. But that's not what, that's just not all the answer to be able to quote it. You have to understand it in its context, and that's where so many people fail, is they just don't understand it. One of the things the gentleman said to me was, the New Testament identifies believers as saints, holy ones. God already sees us as holy before him. He sees us through Christ. Where do you read in the New Testament that Christians are still to be called sinners? I don't see it anywhere. I number one, I didn't say we're to be called sinners. I said we still sin. And we do. Unless you're perfect, you're still sinning sometimes in your life. And one of the things I said in the sermon that I believe was a sin, if I'm not mistaken, was the fact that we do not do the will of God enough in our lives. We come to the church building on Sundays, and then the rest of the week we live for ourselves. And I think that's a sin. And I think God looks at it as a sin. I didn't say it was a sin that was going to cost you your salvation, but it's still a sin. The gentleman also said, church. I know what a church is. The church, Christ's church, is the people. I understand that 100%. But we call these buildings that we congregate in, we call them a church also. I never ever preached and will never preach that a building is what Christ's church is. No, this is just a building. We call it a church, and we come here to congregate together to worship the Lord. Maybe they should have just called them something else. I don't know. But we call them churches. And that's what they are. We're not, the church is the people. We all know that. Christians know that. The gentleman was telling me that, you know, the New Testament also knows also knows of no church building, church service, pulpit, or physical altar in a church building. Church describes the people of the way, the people that learn of God's eternal purpose, and is the instrument collectively that God uses to accomplish his purpose, which they decided in council before time to do. Church never refers to a weekly service or to a building. If we have identified church with all of its modern meanings, we have forgotten what the word means in Scripture. I haven't forgotten what the word means at all. The church of Christ is the people that follow Christ, that believe in Christ, that have accepted Christ as their Savior. That's the true church. But we do call these buildings churches. We just like in biblical days, the Old Testament and New, we had altars. Well, we have an altar in our church, and that altar is a place where you can come up and get prayer and come up to that altar and pray to God if you'd like to. It's not a necessity. But it is a wonderful way to come up, ask for prayer, get prayer from people, the preacher or whoever, talk to God if you want to, if you got a need, and use that altar as a place to communicate with the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing. You know, I'm sorry that the gentleman thought that I thought, you know, that I was preaching that we had to come to the altar every so often, or we were sinning. You know, that's certainly nothing that I said. You know, he made the comment that, let me tell you exactly what the first paragraph or two said. It says, last week while visiting family, we heard you speak at Camp Point. That's where I happened to preach last, that couple Sundays back. It says, Camp Point, Illinois, by the way. And it says, I'm prompted to write to you concerning what you said. As we understand it, this is a summary of your message. Quote, you aren't doing enough to reach this town, you sinners. That, folks, refers to a comment that I made that the New Testament Bible days, with small as they were with those people, Paul and the disciples, and the small little church, they turned the world upside down for Jesus without internet, without telephones, without TV, without radio, without airplanes and cars and all that stuff to get around. They did so much with so little, and they turned the world upside down for Jesus. And here we are in our little town with all the benefits of modernistic technology and everything else, and we can't even make an impact in our own little town. And you know what? It's sad, but it's true, folks. It's true. I'm sorry, but that's the facts. If you was truly making a huge impact in your own little town, you would have a much better town to live in. More people would be in that church building with you, worshiping God and being saved. Instead, half the towns don't even go to a church. They don't even worship God. We're not making the impact we should be making. We all should be able to admit that. I never for once said that we weren't doing enough to reach this town, you sinners. I never said we were sinners because of that. I said that we should be ashamed of ourselves. That's what I said. And that's the truth. And I will stand on that truth until the Lord tells me different. But we should be ashamed of ourselves for no more impact than what we're making in our own communities. Also, he then went on to say, do you take the Bible seriously? God is upset at you. I don't think I said God was upset at anyone in particular. And he says, you should feel bad about this. Sure, I believe you should. Do you really, honestly take the Bible seriously? If you don't, God will be upset with you. I believe that. He went on to say, you know, you need to be in church every week to worship him. If you don't come down to the altar for prayer, you're not a true believer. Not for one time did I say anything about, if you don't come down to the altar for prayer, you're not a believer. I never said that. I said many times, and I'll say it again. If you feel convicted and you don't come down to that altar, you think you're too good to get up out of your seat and come down there because you don't need prayer, you're being deceived. Has nothing to do with whether you're saved or not. What it means is you're being deceived, you're getting haughty, and you're being better than what you are. And you shouldn't be that way. That's what I said. I believe that there's too many people that sit in the pews and say to themselves, well, I'm nothing wrong with me, I'm fine. I don't need to go down to the altar for prayer. No, that'd be just a shame, wouldn't it? The day I preached that sermon, there was four people that come down to the altar and sat down in the front pew. And one of them, a lady, a wonderful lady, looked me right in the eye with tears in her eyes and said, I'm not fulfilling my obligation to God. That, my friends, means that the Holy Spirit spoke to her. She heard what was being spoken, and she knew that she's not fulfilling her obligation to God like she can, and like she could be, and like she should be. We live too much for ourselves. I was pleased to see those people come forward. Because we all need to sometimes throw our pride outside into a ditch or a garbage pail somewhere, or a trash can or a dumpster, and get down on our knees and beg God for forgiveness for the things that we do. You know, people think that it's just everything's okay if you're not preaching love, love, huggy, huggy, sweet, sweet, everything's roses, you're preaching wrong. Well, no, there's more to the Bible than that, and that's why it's such a lost, stinking world. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. You know, these people think that everything is just perfect. That they accepted Christ and now they're perfect. You know, the guy told me, he said that the entire sermon was filled with guilt, fear, and condemnation. Is that what the Spirit of Christ wants us to share with each other? You know, sometimes yes. Of course it is. You know, that's what some of it is about. It says, there is no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus, so there is no need to pick on what is wrong with each other. Well, number one, I wasn't picking on what's wrong with each other. I was telling you how to work and do more for the Lord. I was talking, you know, I'm a long way from being the best preacher you ever heard, trust me. But I rely on God to prepare my sermons for me. You might find this very hard to believe, but God is wonderful. God is so good. I pray about what to speak on when I got to preach. And I rely on the Lord to put it on my heart as to what that message might be. And the message he wanted me to speak about was called Seriously. I looked up some scripture. I looked up a little bit of reference material. I didn't study anything. I just looked up a few little things, put it down on a piece of paper as kind of a guideline, and I left it at that. I did not prepare a sermon. I never prepare a sermon. Ever. I don't believe in preparing a sermon and then practicing it until you get it down pat so you can go up there and recite it without notes. I don't believe that that's preaching. I believe that's teaching, not preaching. There's a difference between preaching and teaching. And I want to get into that a little bit more. But for right now, again, we're out of time. God bless you. I will talk to you in the morning. Praise the Lord. We pray these programs have been a blessing to you and they've taught you something. We feel that, you know, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do. And we pray that and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests or would like to, you know, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, C-A-M-P, P-O-I-N-T, two different words, Illinois 62320. God bless you.